This is Josh Turum of Hickey and Turum. I'm the owner and managing partner at our firm here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. One of the questions we get very frequently in Wisconsin is, if especially in the workers' compensation world, is why is there no pain and suffering? Or I should say, the first question is what about my pain and suffering? Or what do I get for pain and suffering? And then when I unfortunately have to answer that we cannot collect or obtain benefits for pain and suffering, then the question inevitably is why not? which is a completely fair question. The pain and suffering question in general comes from the personal injury world, which is a benefit that you can recover in a personal injury claim. The reason that we cannot recover what are called pain and suffering benefits in workers' compensation in Wisconsin is because of what's called the agreed upon bill, which came into place at the time in which the act was founded, back in 1911. And basically, the agreement, to put it simply, was we're not going to allow pain and suffering or a tort action in a workers' compensation claim. But in exchange for that, we are going to make our system, our workers' compensation system in Wisconsin, a no-fault system. So, yeah, we definitely, it's definitely a detriment, or it definitely reduces the value of our claims in Wisconsin because there is no pain and suffering. But the trade was a no-fault system. And if you think about it, the founders and the creators of our act were thinking, look, we don't want to assess or determine fault on a work injury. Whether it was the fault of the employer or the fault of the injured worker, or the fault of, quite honestly, anybody else, we're not going to limit or prevent an injured worker from bringing claims simply because it was their fault. They wanted to make sure that people could get the benefits that they needed while they were out. They wanted to make sure people could get the medical attention and the medical benefits that they needed while they were out, regardless of fault. And I'm not here to tell you whether or not I think this is fair or reasonable, or if it was a fair and reasonable trade. But I can tell you that over the course of me doing this, for the length of time that I've been doing it, I have had many, many instances where the injury was the fault of my clients. And had it not been for this agreement back in 1911 that has been in place since then, those are claims that we couldn't bring. And a lot of those claims are severe injuries with significant medical expenses and significant medical needs that if we couldn't prove it was the fault of the employer or someone else, we couldn't have brought those claims in the first place. So, in some respects, I think that matters. And I think that there was some, I think that trade was somewhat legitimate and well thought out. I shouldn't say somewhat, it was legitimate and well thought out, because again, assessing fault in a work injury can be challenging. Note that there is what is called a 15% rule under the Wisconsin Workers' Compensation Act, which means that if an injured worker was injured at the specific fault or due to what's called a safety violation by the employer, they can obtain a 15% increase in benefits. So while there isn't necessarily pain and suffering, or I should say there is not pain and suffering, there is this potential 15% increase if in fact there was a violation, a safety violation that can be proven or shown. The most common that I've seen over the years is, an unmarked manhole or an unmarked hole in the ground that the employer should have marked and didn't. And, my client falls through it or trips over it or whatever it may be. And there are plenty of other examples and cases of this, but but that's where a 15% increase may apply. Similarly, there's actually a 15% decrease, you know, which can be asserted by the employer or carrier if, in fact, it was the clear fault or safety violation of the employee or the injured worker. So in those instances, you know, you're looking at an example where, you know, the machine says specifically on it, big, bold, red letters, you know, do not put your hand or fingers anywhere near this machine, you know, while operating or something to that extent. And the person does it anyway. You know, we'll see a 15% decrease requested in those kind of instances where there's a very clear, you know, violation of safety by the employee. Note that, quite honestly, the 15% rule I see very rarely. It's just not something that comes into play a whole lot on either side. Both are honestly relatively difficult to prove, and very rarely are they nearly as clear as the examples that I just outlined. There's almost always some sort of, you know, challenging component to it. So you know, it's there, but it's from a practical standpoint, it's really, you know, pretty rarely utilized. But you know, that I just wanted to go through that because, again, the pain and suffering question comes up all the time, especially with you know, the sort of advertising and commercials we're seeing, you know, with regards to personal injury claims. Workers' compensation or injured workers are, you know, wondering why they're not entitled to the same sort of benefit, and understandably so, especially because there certainly are, you know, they certainly are experiencing a ton of pain and a ton of suffering. And so it's very fair that they'd ask that question, or you'd ask that question, but unfortunately it's not available. Just briefly, just so you know, what is available is there's really four main claims in a workers' compensation case in Wisconsin. One is for lost wages. We refer to it as temporary total disability, and it's paid at 2/3 of an injured worker's average weekly wage at the time of injury, and it is tax-free. So it's 2/3. It's meant to replicate the net that the injured worker received when they weren't injured or were working. And so you don't pay any sort of tax on that. You don't have to report it as income. It's just a straight 2/3 payment of your average weekly wage. Quick example, if you're making $600 a week, you'd be getting temporary total disability payments of $400 a week, or 2/3 of 600. Second claim is for what's called permanent partial disability. That's a percentage of disability that's assigned by the treating doctor as a result of the injury or a surgery. And that percentage is controlled by a permanent partial disability rate based on the date of your injury. So we can easily calculate that for you or evaluate that for you if and when that percentage of disability is assigned. Third is what's called loss of earning capacity or retraining benefits. These benefits come into play if an injured worker has permanent restrictions and cannot return to work under those permanent restrictions, or the employer no longer has work for the injured worker within those restrictions. And in that instance, we have to determine either what that loss is, you know, what is the amount that they're going to, quote, lose, what's that percentage loss, or two, get them in a viable vocational retraining or schooling program where they could ultimately obtain some sort of degree, a schooling degree, that would permit or allow the person to go and find a new job, hopefully the equivalent pay or even more than what they were earning at the time of injury. So in that instance, someone's making $20 an hour and they have this injury, they can't go back to that job, and the highest level of education they've completed to date is high school, and maybe a two-year program, a technical program may be recommended. And if completed, would allow that injured worker to find work within the restrictions, likely a much more physical sort of work, but right back up to that sort of wage, because now they have the degree necessary to compete for those kinds of jobs. So again, loss of earning capacity retraining comes in if permanent restrictions are assigned and they can't go back to that at injury employer. And lastly, are medical expenses. You obviously want to make sure that all the medical expenses that are associated with the injury or related to the injury are reimbursed or paid. So again, pain and suffering is a no under the Wisconsin Workers' Compensation Act, but the trade-off is a no-fault system. And the claims that we're looking at are the claims that you can have, and you can have one, two, three, or all four of these claims: lost wages, permanent partial disability, loss of earning capacity, retraining benefits, and medical expense. Any other questions about claims or the thought process behind these sort of things, by all means, feel free to reach out. But thank you for listening, and take care.